We all just thought it was a fait accompli that, and we've been excited about this new Western Sydney Stadium. I still call it Parramatta Stadium, but virtually unthinkable, isn't it, that the Parramatta Eels won't play out of this brand spanking new stadium. We thought we'd get the thoughts of Bernie Gurr, the CEO of Parramatta. G'day, Bernie.
G'day, TK. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, good. Can you give our listeners and our viewers a bit of an update, Bernie, about why the impasse?
Yeah, mate, what's happened is that, you know, with the draw coming out within the next, you know, 8 to 10 days, we had a, you know, an obligation to communicate with our fans. And the reality is, mate, at the moment, we're a bit of an impasse with venues live around the commercial terms of the deal. And, you know, given that it's going to be a 15 to 25 year deal, you know, we just have to get this right for our club so that we get the right financial outcomes. That's the gist of it.
Yeah. How confident are you of a deal being worked out, you know, relatively quickly, Bernie?
Look, Laurie, clearly our intent is to play at Western Sydney Stadium. We've spent 3-4 months, you know, in serious negotiations, doing a lot of due diligence around this. We want to get it done. We want the Eels to be playing at this great new stadium. But the reality is, mate, we've got to get a better deal financially for our club. But, look, we're still hopeful. We're going to have continued dialogue with Venues Live. So, mate, we're still hopeful we can play there. But, you know, there's a bit of water to go under that bridge yet.
Yeah. Has any other football club locked into the stadium? So has the Western Sydney Wanderers locked in a deal? And if so, is yours completely different to theirs?
Look, I'm not sure. My understanding, mate, is that they're not locked in. I don't think the only club that I've heard that's locked in is the West Tigers, and they've committed to play 4 games over a 2 or 3 year period. And of course, we're very different. We're going to commit 11 games a year for 15 to 25 years. So we're going to be an anchor tenant along with the Wanderers. Yeah. Therefore, you know, from our perspective, we've got to get a better deal for them because we're effectively, us and the Wanderers will be effectively underpinning the economic realities of that stadium.
Yeah, understand all that, Bernie. I'm not too sure whether you're also a member of the Leagues Club Board, Bernie, but I can imagine they would have driven off the road when they heard that maybe Parramatta Eels weren't going to be playing at the stadium because I drove by last week and it just looks like it's going to be a terrific viewing stadium and much needed, by the way. And then I'm thinking, well, you know, like the old days where people used to have a, you know, a beer, a pint or a meal at Paraleagues and walk across, you know, 100 metres to the stadium. Then, of course, you get that patronage on the way back as well. So it's big money for the Leagues Club as well. How do you weigh that up with the stadium deal and, you know, your flow-on effects to the Leagues Club?
Yeah, now that's a good point, particularly as the Leagues Club is the owner of our football club and they obviously fund, you know, put a significant amount of money into our football club every year. So, look, bottom line, mate, the Parramatta Group, being the Parramatta Leagues Club and the Parramatta Football Club, we are totally aligned on the approach we're taking here with Venues Live. Okay. Bevan Paul, the CEO, and Max Donnelly, who's the chairman of Parramatta Leagues Club, they are totally aligned with what we're doing with the Parramatta National Rugby League Club. Look, they see the benefits, obviously, but at the moment, they're very supportive of us because the better deal that we get, then that's the less amount of money that the Leagues Club has to put into the football club and therefore allowing the Leagues Club to put money into to the member facilities. So, look, mate, we look at it from a group perspective. So, yeah, no, we're very aligned with them. Look, it is a magnificent stadium. It's going to be terrific. But at the moment, mate, we've just got to get a better financial deal so we can invest in our NRL team, our junior elite programs and our community initiatives.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of text messages coming through, Bernie. One of them is, can you ask Bernie, how do you sell ticketed memberships if you don't know where you're going to play?
Well, what we've done at the moment, Laurie, we've obviously had to plan as if we're going to be playing at Western Sydney Stadium with our members. Our members have been very understanding of the process.
Yep.
At the moment, we've simply taken a deposit from our members. We've had to start the process. Otherwise, we would have just been miles behind. We couldn't have got it done in time for the season. So that's been done. On the corporate side, we're just taking expressions of interest at the moment. So we're not committing people. So, look, from a financial point of view, all we've been doing is setting ourselves up with respect to the members in the corporate hospitality areas.
Yep. What sort of figures, Bernie, your due diligence, can you grow your home crowds to, you know, with such a facility and all that? What's the future outlook there?
Look, it's a terrific stadium. It has the ability for us to grow. To grow our business is there, but we're factoring that into what we're doing here, TK.
Sure.
You know, we've probably done more due diligence around this than I'd suggest most other entities would have done over the years around stadiums. We've talked to consultants, we've talked to other clubs, including AFL clubs, we've talked to other stadiums, we've done some extensive financial modelling around what this stadium means to us in all our revenue pillars, whether that's game day revenue, ticketing, revenue, merchandise, membership, hospitality. We've done some very, very extensive financial modelling around this. And at the moment, the numbers that drop out of that modelling are not consistent with what Venues Live are offering us.
Will the NRL get involved in the negotiations to help you, you know, get an outcome that's positive?
Mate, we've met with the NRL. They're totally aware of our position.
Yep.
They were aware of our position before we went public on it, when we notified our members of the status of the negotiation. So, Laurie, yeah, we've been in constant communication with the NRL.
Can you give us a rough ballpark figure what it costs to hire the stadium for a day?
Look, it's not appropriate, sure, PK, to give you that number, but I will tell you that stadium deals these days, mate, they're very complicated.
Yeah.
It's not the old suburban ground where, you know, you drop a check on the desk and the council says, yeah, that looks pretty good, I'll take that.
Yeah.
They're quite complicated businesses. The financial modelling around it's complicated. You've got all these different revenue streams. You've got all the different cost structures that go with it. Some are fixed costs, some are variable costs that are determined by the number of people that attend an event. So, mate, it's quite a sophisticated process, but we've been through that, and at the moment we've just got a bit more work to do.
Yeah, when you do a deal for a stadium, Bernie, obviously, you know, it's rent, but do you actually get a say in the costs as well?
Well, what was
as in from, for, you know, food and beverage?
Yeah, it's a good point, Laurie, because, you know, let's face it, one of the real pain points for families going to sporting events or even entertainment events is the cost of food and beverage. Over the years, the cost of food and beverage at sporting venues within Sydney and probably within Australia, it's not indicative of what you can pay. You buy a schooner at a club, it's much, much cheaper than when you buy a schooner at a sporting event, or you buy a pie or a hot dog, or you want to get the kids an ice cream or a cap or something.
Sure.
It's much cheaper to get those outside the stadium. So look, the reality is the stadium operator and owner, they usually do outsource the food and beverage. So you've got a number of parties in the food and beverage situation now. What we've said from day one to both Venues New South Wales and Venues Live is that we want significant pressure put on caterers to make sure that the food and beverage costs are appropriate and affordable for families.
Yeah, and so it should be. And I think most clubs should be looking at doing that as well, Bernie, because a lot of text messages that we get are exactly what you just said then. You know,
yeah, mate, it's a major pain
point,
Loz.
Yep.
And, you know, the reality is... and sometimes the public don't understand this, is that the clubs have minimal impact because they rent the ground, but part of renting the ground is that the stadium owner or operator and the food and beverage supplier are already locked into fixed contracts, and you have to absorb and comply with that contract. So it does make it difficult. On this particular stadium, we've put pressure on everybody from day one to make sure that when they do deals with food and beverage providers, that the prices are not unreasonable for the regular punter.
That'd be music to many of our listeners and our viewers' ears. Bernie, just a couple of quick ones if we can, mate. Jared Hayne, have you presented him a contract yet?
No, we have not presented Jared a contract. I spoke directly with Jared last week to tell him we want him at the club in 19. Brad Arthur is away at the moment. Brad's spoken to him a number of times directly to tell him we want him at the club. So, mate, that message is there to Jared. We're still working through a few other issues that around that particular situation, and you know, I'm not going to elaborate on that,
sure,
but we're working around that. Bottom line is we want Jared at the club in 2019.
Okay. Right. And Corey Norman, Bernie, he's been a regular on our program all year, and I reckon for the last 6 months he's been on, we kept asking him, what's the situation? Are you there at Parramatta next year or not? So
Poor
can
bugger.
You give us an update?
I think he put that on auto reply.
I could imagine.
Look, Corey's going to be with us.
Yep.
Corey's got a contract through the end of next year. He's doing a little bit of training already, but you know, they come back on 1st of November, mate, and Corey will be there.
Mitchell Moses, wanted?
Mitchell Moses, he's got a contract as well, mate, so and I expect him to be at training on 1st of November as well. So, yeah, those two are going to be with us in 19.
Michael Jennings?
And Michael Jennings, the same situation, mate.
He'll go through the whole list here, Bernie.
No.
I know.
Have you got another hour?
Right.
Sorry, Bernie. And, mate, one more. A couple of quick texts. Are you trying to get a Kiwi international to your club? Can you give us any?
No, I saw that rumour. Someone told me, I'm not on social media, but somebody told me there was a rumour out there that we were looking for a Kiwi. No, mate, there's no truth to that rumour. We've addressed our recruiting needs. We've got Junior Paulo, Sean Lane, Blake Ferguson and Mika Sivo from Panthers.
Right.
And, you know, given that it was a it wasn't the free agent market this year. There wasn't a lot of huge names on the market. We think for the needs that we had in our club, and we wanted to get a bit younger, a bit bigger, particularly in the forwards, that, you know, given where the market stood, that we've done reasonably well.
Yeah, and the club undertook a review. What was the key findings to come out of that, Bernie?
Key findings is that we probably need to have, we've given some more resources, not just to the NRL team, Laurie, but also we've taken a fundamental philosophy that we want to get back to being what Parramatta should be, which is a development club.
Right.
We are, you know, the reality is we are very analogous to Penrith. We have 5,500 juniors. Historically, Parramatta's been very good at producing players. We don't lose as many top-line players to other clubs as people think we do, but we do lose some. But there's been a refocus the last couple of years, and we're going to up the ante on our junior representative program. We want to be a development club, up the number of players that come through the Parramatta system that gravitate, you know, to the NRL level. So, you know, that was a big issue to come out of it. That was probably actually the number one issue to come out. And, of course, in 2020, as part of that developmental pathway, mate, we'll bring our second-grade side back into the Parramatta fold. We've had a great relationship with Wentworthville, but it's time to bring it back into the fold. So everybody from sort of cradle to grave, from under-16s, junior Fs, right through to NRL, they wear the Parramatta blue and gold and the Parramatta logo.
Bernie, I know we've covered a lot of different topics, mate, but there's Parramatta fans spread all over the country, so I'm sure they appreciate your input. We thank you so much for your time.
Good to talk to you, boys.
There he goes, Bernie Gurr, CEO of the Parramatta Eels, with his views. We can take your feedback as well. 1353.
Yeah, I love how he's fighting for the punter. And that's what you have to do as a CEO. You want to make sure that everyone that turns up to your game enjoys the experience and they're not paying an arm and a leg.
Yep.
And obviously it's about them getting the best deal possibly they can for themselves, but also to protect the punter going to the event that he's not going to put his hand in the kick all the time. And if he does have to put his hand in his pocket, it's not going to cost a fortune.